So this evening's gospel, we have something that comes to us from all four gospels about Mary. And that is that as these different events in Jesus' life unfolded, and she was there to observe them, that she held these things in her heart and reflected on them. So that when she encountered these events, as we find here tonight, for example, the shepherds coming and telling her and Joseph about what they saw, these angels appearing to them out in the field, Mary held that and reflected upon it in her heart for many, many years. And we also know that on Good Friday, that Jesus, from the cross, gave Mary to John, the beloved disciple, and declared to John, "Behold your mother," and to Mary, "Behold your son." And from what we know from the tradition, at least, John took Mary to his home, and the two of them lived together in Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey. And there at Ephesus, John had a home and Mary lived with him. And I can just imagine some of the conversations they must have had about Jesus, the one great love of their lives, over what, coffee in the morning? What's their breakfast beverage back then? I don't know. But I can just imagine they talked so many meaningful things because Mary was there from the beginning when he was conceived in her womb up until that time when he ascended into heaven. And she's pondering on all these things related to Jesus. And while we don't have any document that says this, I happen to believe that John's gospel, which is a very profound and deep reflection upon the life of Jesus, is so deep, at least in part, because John was privileged to hear Mary speak about what she reflected on in her heart. She had a very profound understanding of the life of Christ, the Son of God. And I can't imagine that she wouldn't have shared that with John, the beloved disciple. Now, John had great spiritual experiences himself. I mean, the scriptures relate some of those. He went up into the heavens. That's a pretty wild ride, I'd say. But I think he also benefited from many conversations with Mary, who throughout her life was reflecting on Jesus and came to some very profound insights into his life and ministry that ended up in the fourth gospel, which everyone acknowledges is a very profound reflection on the life of Christ. I think we're here tonight, though, to celebrate the fact that the woman is still alive and that we, too, can be with her and spend time with her. It's very interesting that in the history of all the documents we have, even the apocryphal writings, the ones that didn't make it into the Bible, there's no mention ever that they put out a posse looking for the Blessed Mother when she was no longer around anywhere. This was a woman that was there at one point, and then she was never there again. We don't have a report of John or anyone else calling the police, "Hey, my mother's gone. I don't know where she is. We got to get someone out there looking for her." I think the young church knew. She ascended into heaven, body and soul. And of course, our church took 1,950 years to finally define that teaching, which we did, Pius XII in 1950, to find that Mary is assumed into heaven. She was assumed by Christ into the heavens, not just spiritually in her soul as you and I will be when we die, but even in body She's the only other human being in the heavens besides Christ, bodily. Not even Saint Joseph, her beloved spouse, is enjoying that privilege. So I'm here to say she's there. And you and I can spend time with her the same way John did when he was with her at Ephesus. And one of the more privileged ways that we spend time with the Blessed Mother is right here. I happen to have a rope one. I break all the other ones with the little chains on them. So this one's nice and sturdy. I can keep it in my pocket. And, you know, Padre Pio called this rosary the strongest weapon we have against evil. And you know what? It's not because the devil is afraid of beads. It's not because he's afraid of these beads. These beads can't do him any harm any more than I can. He's a much more powerful creature than I am, much more intelligent. He's not afraid of these beads. He's afraid of the other at the end of these beads. He's afraid of the woman that you and I come into communion with these beads. That's why these beads are so powerful. You might say that when you pull your rosary out, it's like you're holding hands with the Blessed Mother. She's always there. In all of her apparitions, she's always holding one of these, which means when you hold one, you're with her holding a rosary and praying it. So as John was able to enjoy conversation with the Blessed Mother, so can we with the rosary. Because when you take out this rosary and you start to pray it, what you're doing is reflecting on the mysteries of Christ. And Mary, she knows about Jesus very well because she meditated and reflected on him in her heart, observing what he was doing and thinking about and meditating on, and coming to very profound, inspired insights and understanding about Jesus. And she shares that with us through this prayer. Now, I know for some of us, taking up this prayer is like hitting a wall because we're so preoccupied with so many things, like Martha was. Martha, Martha, you're so preoccupied and upset about many things. Your sister has chosen the better part, to sit and listen to Jesus. So, yeah, you pull this out and it feels like you're hitting a wall because all these preoccupations we have and we're thinking about things, the kids are acting up, or I just had a terrible shopping experience, whatever it was. We're running around, it's the holidays, we got all kinds of things to do, and then you pull this out and bam, you hit the wall. But I'm here to tell you that going in, you may be preoccupied, but going out, you're going to know peace. Because you've spent time with Mary, the Mother of God. You know, I remember attending a pro-life conference back. I was at the university still in the mid-90s. And I'm going to name a name. Maybe some of you don't remember him now. He's kind of faded off into the sunset more. Alan Keyes at one time had run for president in the United States and had served as on the team of the ambassadorship at the UN and everything under one of the administrations. But you know what? He said something. He was at this conference. He's a very devout Catholic, a wonderful man. And he said to us all at that conference that he recognized something. Whenever he'd go home and visit his mom, whenever I go home and I visit my mom, something in me always went calm. And then he went on to say that, you know, through abortion, we're taking whatever that is and hardening it. But that a mother, there's something about a mother that when you're in her presence, something in us goes calm. And I know that's been my own experience. Something just goes calm. And that's what happens when you spend some time with Mary, with the rosary. You just go calm. You start to calm down a little bit. Get your feet under you again. It's not going to solve all your problems. The problems are going to be there again, but you may be just a little more present to yourself and capable of being present to others as you go about your life. Instead of running around like a chicken without a head, scurrying about. No, really present to yourself, what's going on around you, and able to respond instead of just react with a knee jerk. That makes a big difference in our lives. Just that peace that's sufficient to give us back to ourselves so that we're able to respond instead of react. We're able to be present instead of absent, even though we may be there physically and our minds are wandering all over the place elsewhere. That's what can happen when we spend time with Mary. And when we're able to just pull out the rosary and recite it. You'll go in preoccupied, but you'll come out calmed down. Maybe even a little bit more assured that you're loved and able to recognize that, you know what, someone bigger than I has got this, and maybe I don't have to worry quite as much as I thought I did. And that's a great way to start a new year, 2021, is to start it out by acknowledging the woman, Mary, the Mother of God, to whom we've all been given by Christ as he was dying upon the cross. He gave us his mother as our companion because he trusts her as a very good teacher about what's going down in himself and the truth of his teaching and becoming a true disciple. And so I guess this homily, if it had any purpose, I would hope to encourage you to take some time with Mary. Don't hesitate to come up against that wall and don't worry, like you might say, gee, she doesn't want anything to do with me. Well, that's the first lie, so let's stop lying to ourselves about that. Sure she does. You're her children and she loves you and she wants to spend time with you. And so, give yourself some time with Mary. Pull out your rosary. Pop out a few beads. And I'll bet you before you're halfway through, you'll want to finish it. But that's what we got to do. We just got to start. Hit that wall. Let yourself hit that wall. And then just let everything fall off. As you spend some time with the woman who has been given to us as our mother, Mary, the Mother of God.